I greet you again in the precious name of our Lord Jesus with the words from 2 Peter 1, verse 2, where it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen." I want to focus a little bit to begin with on Isaiah 55, verses 1 and 2. There is an amazing invitation. Isaiah 55, verse 1 says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your souls delight itself in fatness." The call in these verses is to everyone from everywhere, including you and me. Everyone that has a longing or that has a thirst or they feel that they have a need can come and receive without money and without price. It is an offer that we don't see in the world, but it is an offer, a spiritual offer that we see in the scriptures. Friends, I believe that this offer is for the soul. Those who are spiritually hungry and thirsty may come and drink for free. Let your soul delight itself in fatness, it says. One of the very last gifts that the Lord Jesus gave to his disciples before his death was that of Holy Communion. That is also a spiritual celebration to remind us of the gift of salvation. Though Jesus knew that his death was around the corner and that man would cruelly take him and crucify him on the cross, yet he gifted man with a love feast and commanded his followers, "This do in remembrance of me." Friends, in a week's time, we want to celebrate Communion again, the Lord's Supper. May we do it thoughtfully and prayerfully. And may the Lord use this morning to prepare us for that special time with him. Shall we bow for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we come to you and we thank you that you have given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You have provided for the physical, but you have provided even more richly for the spiritual, for that of the soul. Lord God, this morning we come to you, and we thank you for the gift of salvation that you have given through your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, and that whosoever has a desire, whosoever has a thirst, may come. Heavenly Father, we pray that we would not take the offer lightheartedly, but that we would realize our need for a Savior, for we are sinful, and we need a Savior, Lord. We thank you for the offer that you have given to us. We pray, Heavenly Father, as we prepare ourselves for that communion table, that you will speak to us this morning. May your word speak to us, and may your name be glorified and uplifted. In Jesus' name we pray. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. A few words that drew me to this portion of Scripture are the words "we" and "us" that we find so much in verse 1. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I love it when we can apply God's word in a personal way to ourselves, our own lives. And in Hebrews chapter 11, there is a long list of Christian believers who have endured great hardships and trials in life for their faith, yet they remain steadfast in their faith and in God's word. With persistence and great endurance, they demonstrated their faith till they died. Now, in chapter 12, the writer to the Hebrews says, with these people in mind, now it is up to us. It is up to us to carry this faith forward. He says, let us run the race that is set before us. The people in Hebrews chapter 11, they had the race set before them, and they ran the race. And friends, now it is up to us. Every Christian has a race to run. As those people in Hebrews chapter 11, they left a testimony for those which should later look back to their life. The same it is for you and me as we run our life, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. They are going to look at our life. They're going to observe what kind of a witness, what kind of a testimony did we leave. What will my report be like? Now, if we study Hebrews 11 and Hebrews 12, we find that the race wasn't always an easy one. The writer mentions three things that are important in the Christian race. He says, let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside the sin that does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience, or we could say with perseverance. We all know that in a race, we don't want extra weight. And I have meditated on what's the difference on laying aside the weight or laying aside the sin. There are weights in our life that we need to set aside. There are people, many people, that have things in their lives that drag them back from serving the Lord or living a true Christian life. Not necessarily that those are wrong things, but when we have too much of something, it can weigh us down. I want to use a few examples of those. We all know that work is good. The Bible says that we are to work. But we can overdo work to the point where we have no time for church, no time for Bible studies. And work, even work that is good, can become a hindrance to us because it has become number one in our life. For some people, it is relationships. We know that the scriptures teach that we need to have good relationship with our family, with our children. Relationships are good. But when our family consumes all of our time, and we have no time for the church family, then it becomes a weight and drags us back from what we should be in our Christian walk. That is why Jesus said, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Friends, Jesus must be our number one. 'For some it is entertainment or pleasures. There is nothing wrong with having some fun, some entertainment, some pleasures. But 2 Timothy 3, verse 4 talks about lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. For some people, it is houses, or it is cars, or it is sports. I could mention many, many things that weigh people down. Those things drag us back from running a true spiritual race. Now, in the race, there is no exact rule as to what you can or you cannot wear. But the participant that runs the race will soon know in his life what is a hindrance to him as he runs the race. So it is with our spiritual race. Each person will be nudged by the Holy Spirit as to what weights need to be laid aside. And as you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, give him free course as to what you need to put aside in your life, or what weighs you down from running the true spiritual race. I want to encourage you, friends, this morning with the words of Hebrews 12, let us lay aside every weight, not just some. Every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Since we are all born with a sinful nature, sin has a way of so easily besetting us. It so easily becomes a part of our life. It stands around us, it ensnares us. And I believe every person has a besetting sin, though these may vary greatly from one person to the other. But we all have things that we must lay aside to properly run the Christian race. When I was a child, I used to think that there were things that I was tempted with, but the minister of the church, he has overcome all of that. He no longer struggles with sin anymore. But friends, I see it different today. When you read Hebrews chapter 5, the first three verses, it talks about the high priest, that the priests that were ordained, these were even people that were chosen by God. And it says he was himself also compassed with infirmity, or we could say beset with weaknesses or sin. And for that reason he had to offer for the people, so also for himself, the sacrifice of sin. So friends, I hope you understand that there is none of us exempt when it comes to setting aside or laying aside the besetting sin. We are all included. And when I speak about laying aside the sin that so easily besets us, I must include myself. The scriptures teach, let us lay aside every sin What is our besetting sin? What is my sin? Is it anger or malice? Do we have unfit mouth talk? Lying or exaggerating or bragging? Are we rude to others? Are we unforgiving or unloving or unthankful? Are we disobedient as a child to our parents or as a servant to our master? Do we submit to authorities, to our governments, to one another, or to God? Are we maybe incontent? Do we murmur or complain a lot? Do we hoard our money for ourselves? Are we judgmental of the next person? Are we spiritually idle? Is there a sexual impurity in our life? Do we covet what others have? These are just a few of the things that our text says we are to lay aside in our Christian life. Colossians 3 verse 8 says we are to put these things off. 1 Peter 2 verse 11 says abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, when I first read this, I thought, how can we run with patience? Some translations say run with perseverance. I believe what it means is don't give up. Press onward in the race. Yes, it is sometimes trying and it is tiring, sometimes discouraging when we have failed again. But Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in God in Christ Jesus. Now, verse 2 of our text says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Always keep in mind the example that he left us of walking in hardships, enduring with trials and finishing the race that is set before us. Friends, I believe unless we keep our eyes on Jesus, we cannot even accomplish the things that are mentioned in verse 1. We do not have the power on our own to lay aside every sin. We do not have the power to run with perseverance. Our focus must not change or waver. Jesus is our aim. As we consider what he endured and the shame that he bore, it will make your and my trials look a lot smaller. They will become as nothing, and our burdens will become much lighter. As we prepare ourselves to focus on Jesus at communion, may we be encouraged to run the race with perseverance. Before we continue this morning, we want to spend some time in prayer, personal prayer. I want to give each one of you the opportunity to bring your prayers to our Heavenly Father. Let's allow him to prepare us for that great communion table. I'd like to focus a little bit on 1 Corinthians chapter 11 this morning, as that is a passage that speaks well about preparing ourselves for communion. 1 Corinthians 11, starting from verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For that there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, unto one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating every one taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Paul, in this portion of Scripture, reminds the Corinthian church of many important points about communion. And he says, the things that I want to talk to you about, they are not things for which you deserve praise. Now, if you read the whole chapter, you will find that in verse 2 of that chapter, Paul actually does praise the Corinthians for remembering him and the ordinances that he has set that they would keep them. He praises them for doing that. But here, Paul feels the need to admonish rather than to praise. And today I must say I am so glad that the Word of God does not only praise us when we do something right, but it also reprimands us when we go astray. Both of these are necessary for a good spiritual growth, yet it is often harder to admonish than to praise. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick or the living and the dead at his appearing of his and his kingdom. He says, preach the word of God, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You know, friends, this morning I found it very, very hard to speak this portion of Scripture to you. It is so much easier to speak of praise, to speak the positive things, but I believe the Word of God needs to be spoken, and all of it needs to be spoken. To reprove means to let someone know of their wrongdoing. To rebuke means to reprove sharply. To exhort means to give strong advice.
Apostle Paul, he does that in this chapter. And may we take it as not a word from me, but as the word of God. Paul says to the Corinthians in verse 17, when you come together, or he says, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. Friends, it would be my desire that I would be able to turn that around. That ye come together not for the worse, but for the better. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, it was meant for our good. It was meant for our betterment. As believers, we are to benefit by it. By it, we are supposed to grow closer to our Lord. By communion, we are supposed to become more thankful for what Christ has done for us on the cross. By communion, we are to experience the riches of forgiveness and peace. By communion, we are supposed to grow in love one toward another. And by it, we are to look forward to Christ's coming kingdom. But friends, Paul makes it clear in this portion of Scripture that if Christ's ordinances do not work or make us better, then they are actually going to make us worse. If we do not use them for his glory, then they may serve for our condemnation. If Christ's words do not soften our hearts, then they will actually harden our hearts. Paul said in verse 28, let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. I want to talk a little bit about how we are to examine ourselves and how to identify that which we need to put off in our life. First of all, I want to say that this takes a little bit of time and concentration. And that is why it is good to have a preparation service before communion. I'd like to encourage all of us this morning to take time this week and let's focus on our very own life. Let's focus on our relationship with the Lord Jesus. Let's focus on our relationship with fellow man. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 139. The last two verses of that psalm. May these verses become our prayer as they were for the psalmist. It says in verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. May we use this coming week for the Lord to search our hearts and to know our deepest thoughts. And if there is wickedness in us, that we would allow him to lead us in the way that leads to everlasting life. You know who I think is the greatest help in the process of self-examination? I believe it is the Holy Spirit. Somehow he can plant in us a sense of unease
in the ways that we, where we do not meet God's standard. Often he will do it through the scriptures. Ephesians 6, verse 17 says that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. So allow the Word of God to speak to you as you read it. Hebrews 4, verse 12 says that the Word of God is alive. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. James in James 1 writes about the Word of God being like a glass or a mirror in which we see ourselves, and how those that concentrate on what they have seen and do according to the Spirit's leading, how they will be blessed in their deeds. Friends, God wants to bless us. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. When the Apostle Paul admonishes the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 18, he said, "First of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you." He says in verse 20 to verse 22, "When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not?" He says, this is not the Lord's Supper. This is not what it's all about. Communion is all about oneness, forgiveness. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 23, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee," or anything against thee, "leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." In the Old Testament, when the Israelites would come to the court of the temple, having brought his sacrifice and awaiting for the instant when the priest would approach and receive it at his hand, and as he stands there, he waits. And in this solemn moment, when he was about to give himself upon divine mercy, and seek in his offering divine forgiveness of God. And during that time, as he ponders and waits, he ponders the relationship with God. Then he remembers that some brother has something against him. What then? The question is, should he offer that sacrifice and then go and make things right with his brother? It says, no. Jesus said, "Leave your gift there and go first and be reconciled to your brother. Then you will be able to offer your gift in a way that will be pleasing to him." Jesus said in Mark 11, verse 26, "If you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." You know, friends, God does not accept worship from a believer that is not in speaking terms with his brother. I believe communion is one of the highest acts of worship that we have here in this world. And we too need to see that there is no differences between us and a brother or sister. Let us make up in the spirit of love before going to Holy Communion. Neither should there be a difference between the poor and the wealthy. For at Christ's table, we all come to one level. It is not about how much we have or how much we've gained. It is a spiritual table.
1 Corinthians 12, verse 25 says that there should be no schism of the body or no division, but that the members should have the same care one for the other. We have all sinned and come short of what we should be. We are in need of God's grace and of his mercy. And it is only through Christ and his shed blood that we find acceptance with God.
Now, I believe the Corinthian church had celebrated the love feast together with the Lord's Supper. And through the abuse of the love feast and the indulgence of selfish desires, had lost the significance of the Lord's Supper. And the Apostle Paul is reminding them that the Lord has revealed to him what is the true meaning of the Lord's Supper. And that it was instituted of the Lord Jesus in the night when he was betrayed. That it was in memory of him and what he did for us that we should partake of it. He says we are supposed to do this until Jesus comes again. Now I want to say when Paul spoke to the Corinthians, he admonished them first about their divisions. But God only knows what is the first thing that you need to work on in your life. It may not be divisions. It may be something else. Paul must have had a strong conviction from God that that was the message that he needed to convey to them. The message of unity and oneness. Very, very important as we prepare ourselves for communion. But today, it has also been my conviction to remind us that we need to spend more time with God and to be more in his word. We live in a time of an ever greater bombardment of evil forces. Friends, we need to remind or renew our minds on God's word often. If we don't, we can also come to communion with an unprepared and sinful mind. Brothers and sisters, I urge you today, I strongly urge you with James 1, verse 21. Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Lay aside all filthiness and abundance of wickedness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your souls. Jesus said in John 5, verse 39, search the scriptures. Paul said in Colossians 3, verse 16, let the word of God dwell in you richly. I encourage you this week, as you prepare for communion, prepare yourself with a relationship with your Savior. Put all the things of the world aside. Just focus on what He would have in your life.
2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Yes, friends, we can come through God's word. Through God's word, we may become prepared and perfect to have perfect fellowship with him at the communion table. I want to use this opportunity to invite all of you that have been baptized and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, to come. Don't let sin be a hindrance to you that you don't come. Jesus longs to have communion with each one of us, but do it in a fashion that will bring a blessing to you. Shall we close in a word of prayer? Father in heaven, all-seeing and all-knowing Lord God, we come before you. You know the need of every person that is here. You have a longing to fill that need. Today we thank you that you have died on the cross to meet our needs. You have given your all so that we may have life. Heavenly Father, may we give our all as we prepare ourselves to spend time with you. We pray, Heavenly Father, that the meaning of Jesus' death and resurrection, his suffering on the cross, that it would ever become more meaningful to us, and that we would realize the bondage out of which you have saved us. Lord, we pray that as we prepare for communion, that you will speak to us through your word and through your Holy Spirit. Search me, O Lord, and try my ways. Know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. O Father, we pray that thy will would be done this week. May you bless us with that communion table. May we come and be filled in our spiritual walk. May it be closer with you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Very fitting song to close with. Surrender all to Jesus. May we surrender our life to him as we prepare ourselves this week for the communion table for next Sunday. Anna, in closing, just want to express my sincere thanks that you have come. It is encouraging to see the house of the Lord so filled. We are in a beautiful time, a time where we have just seen a great harvest come in again, and we know what a blessing it is when we go out into the field and bring in a harvest. But the greatest harvest will be the spiritual harvest. And we can each one of us can be a partaker of that spiritual harvest. The Lord wants us to be a partaker of that. May we be laborers for that spiritual harvest. I want to dismiss you with a blessing that we find that the Lord said that Moses and Aaron were supposed to dismiss the children of Israel. So let's bow our heads for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. You are dismissed, and may the peace of the Lord go with you.